Seems a bit daft saying good morning, and it's lovely to be with you after all that, doesn't it? But there we go. Just some final words from me. I mean, this has seemed like the longest goodbye, not just this service this morning, but this all started quite a long time ago, 15 months or so ago. And again, I just want to say that what's been achieved here over the past 20 years could only have happened because of the prayers, the giving, the gifting and the working and the partnering of all of you who are in this room and many who are not with us today for lots of different reasons. So my term in leadership at MCF has come to an end, and my race here in one sense is completed, and I've passed the baton over to Nick and the team. But obviously the race goes on for all of us, including myself. The journey continues. We have not yet arrived. The end is not yet, praise the Lord, as the Pentecostals used to say. And I think today's, I don't want to do a kind of Ephesian elders talk, you know, on the beach, you know, I'm not going to see you ever again because I'll see you probably next week sometime. But I did want to leave us with some thoughts of remembrance, because I think that's one thing I can bring. Reminding us of how we've got to this point. I mean, obviously I can't say everything in 15, 20 minutes, but I will do what I can. And this verse just came to me last night when I was wondering what to say. And it's from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. This is Paul writing. It's Paul writing about him. He's not writing about me, by the way. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Well, any of you who know me know that's not about me. But this is the bit I want to talk about today. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. J.B. Phillips translates one of these verses, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ has grasped me. Because actually, why we're here is we're in the purpose of God. This is part of the plan of God. And God has no beginning or end. And ministry doesn't stop with individuals. It continues. The ministry of the church continues beyond individuals. They often say, you know, in football terms, that when a player has been sold or something, you know, they say, well, you know, no player is bigger than the team. No pastor, no minister, no one in any church should be bigger than the church. And often when you find that happens in some of these churches where the charisma of an individual has drawn people to them, that actually you'll see that actually what happens is that the church shrinks as all the acolytes and disciples wander off with them. This won't happen here. Because it's not built on a personality. It is built with a purpose and plan that God has put here. And there's one thing about Paul. Here he is, in prison, in chains, and he's talking about pressing on. He no longer is in charge of where he'll go, when he'll go, what he can do with his life. But within his spirit and within his mind, there is the determination that the end is not yet. He doesn't look back. He's still looking forward. And he's saying, I'm going to keep going. I'm open to everything God has in store for me. And I want to see it happen in my life. He was looking to the future, not to the past. Now, the Greek for pressing on, it's the only Greek word I'll use today, I promise. I'm not even going to give you the word, but it's the word that means to hunt, to chase, to pursue. It's often used in a race, a running race too, you know, going after somebody. I'm in a race. I'm pursuing the leader. God is asking, I believe, us as a church, as well as me and you as individuals, to keep pressing in to the purpose and the plan that God has for us. And that is an adventure of faith. That is something that we don't settle in, that we don't park in, that we don't say, well, that chapter's finished and therefore the rest of my life I'm in now in retirement. And I think that there's something in Scripture about pressing on that has two elements that I want to talk about today. Obviously, I'm not going to be talking so much today about Scripture, which I think is the bedrock of all that we do. But there's two aspects of a church which I think are really important. To press on in God, we need to walk in faith, and we need to walk in the Spirit. Let's talk about walking in the Spirit first. Now, the Bible regularly uses this kind of term to describe the motivation for people doing things and achieving things and going places. It says that people were moved by the Spirit, or led by the Spirit, or guided by the Spirit. They did this, that, and the other. And in the life of Jesus, we read that he's been led by the Spirit. In the Acts of the Apostles, which many people have described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, this same idea of being moved or led by God opens up doors, makes things happen, pioneers things, establishes things, builds things, stretches things, enlarges things. Paul says in his teaching in Galatians 5 that we need to walk in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit of God. And obviously in that context, if you read Galatians 5, he's talking about character and lifestyle, how we live, that our life in the Spirit of God should be affected in the fruit of our life, the nature, the character of who we are. But also, walking in the Spirit means actually following a path that God has prepared for us, that God has ordained for us. It's very interesting because all Christians and churches that you meet would say, well, we like to say we're led by the Spirit. But if you were to ask them, well, where are you being led? And particularly church leaders in many churches, they haven't a clue. They haven't a clue. Because the idea sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds a very spiritual thing. I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being moved by the Spirit. But unless you've got this sense, a clear sense of what God is asking you to do, all it is words. Over the years I've been here, 30 years, there have been many words that have been given to us as a church. Walking in the Spirit means that we're actually going somewhere. It's not just a concept. It's not just a statement of faith, you know, like a creedal position that we believe in. It is something that we're actually doing. And I'm just going to very quickly go through five different words that actually informed us to get to where we are now. When I first came to this church, I had a sermon. I can't remember what it was. I ended up spontaneously speaking on Isaiah 61, on Luke 4, which said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." I had no idea that Isaiah word was a very significant word for what was then South Sheffield House Church, particularly involved with the Oaks. Nobody had told me. But that was the word that God gave me that I hadn't prepared, that I just preached on that particular morning. It was supposed to be preaching with a view. I thought, well, I might have blown it here today because I had no notes. I just made it up as I went along. That was about being led by the Spirit. A bit later on, Martin Deakes, who's not with us, I think it was Martin Deakes, had a real sense that God was calling us to a mission. And we didn't have a building at all in those days. We were still in Meadowhead School. Isaiah 54. And this is a word that has informed us. It's a lot of the things we've done on this estate. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home. And spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle their ruined cities. And a lot of the things we've done on this estate, again, have been pushed out by God speaking to us and being led by the Spirit. Tony, who's with us today, had a vision soon after we had this building of, he calls it the piazza out there. Many of us just call it the precinct, you know, but he's posh. Can't help being a middle class lad, can he, you know? From the south, you know, Somerset, it does count. And basically, he had this vision of a river flowing out of this building onto the precinct. Onto the piazza, as he called it. And of course you get that picture in John's Gospel of Jesus talking about the rivers of living water flowing out from us. And the picture in Ezekiel 47 of the river of God flowing out of the temple. But the essence was of a move of the Spirit that went out of this building and started to move out into this community. Andy had a word that we also preached on, which was of this, us pumping, trying to get water out of the ground. And this artesian well of life springing up among us. That's from Isaiah 43. You know, about God doing something new that would spring up among us. And as a leadership, when we prayed, I had a word which basically fits in a bit with this, which is about the idea of skiing off-piste. Of there being no kind of well-worn paths, as Terry Virgo says in his book. About God making a way where there wasn't a way. And that we were being called to pioneer something. Not just to try to copy other people, mimic what was done elsewhere, but God was calling us to a unique sense of where we're going. Now, all of this is being led by the Spirit. God wants to continue to lead us as a church by the Spirit. Now, yes, the Word has to be our bedrock, and we have to test everything against Scripture, but God wants to speak to us, and we need to be open to God speaking to us through his words. This is going to be really important in the future. As well as a walk in the Spirit, we're also told to walk by faith. There's no other way to please God. It's one thing to believe God said all these things, about a river flowing out and about, and let's get that well of water bursting forward, and, you know, as opposed to let's just keep trying to make it happen, about, going somewhere where we've never gone before and trusting God, and then wondering, well, can we really do that, or is it possible for us to do all these things? For us to think about God telling us to enlarge the place and stretch out and go beyond where we've gone at the moment, and you think, well, we can't do all those things, it's absolutely impossible. And guess what? It is. It's completely impossible if we're the ones trying to prime the pump, make it happen, do it ourselves. But if God has spoken into this church, and God has a purpose and a plan for this church, then he provides the wherewithal to make these things happen. And what we have to do is walk in faith. We're led by the Spirit, but we walk in faith, actively trusting God, believing him, following him. I mean, I'm old enough, and it's probably still the same, to be in evangelical churches who used to look down their nose at what we used to call nominal Christians, you know, churchgoers. Well, they've got a form of godliness, you know, but they don't necessarily believe what we do and put it into faith. But dare I say, as somebody who goes round lots of churches, the charismatic churches that were founded in the 1970s have got themselves in a right state today. They're at a crossroads. And they're trying to do it their own way. Some of them are trying to mimic it with gimmicks and flashing lights and all the rest of it. You know, we're trying to find a way of actually, you know, making it sexy to come to church again. But essentially, dare I say this, I think the charismatic church of the 1970s has become nominally charismatic. And we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, but are we moving in the gifts of the Spirit? Are we moving in the power of the Spirit? Are we investing in seeing people filled with the Spirit? And actually, dare I say, nominal about their faith. Oh, we believe it all. Well, we read in Scripture, even the devil believes it all. You know, we believe it to be true. But are we putting our faith into practice? And you know, when churches fail to press on by being led in the Spirit and fail to press on by being led, by walking in faith in what God is calling them to do, what they do is park the bus, to use another term, and they admire the view of where they've got to, and suddenly the engine seizes up, and suddenly they find themselves not in a position to do anything other than hold the fort till I come, because there's nothing left. There's only one choice for this church, that is to press on. Because if you don't press on, you'll only go back. If you don't press on into what God wants you to do, you'll only start to just get into a maintenance mode, try to hold on to what we've got, protect what we've got, you know, keep everyone happy. You know, we've got a lovely church here. Why would we want to disturb it? Well, actually, God wants to disturb us. Let's just be totally honest. By His Spirit. And He's asking us to make steps of faith. And some of these steps of faith are going to be bigger than we feel we have the ability to do. And that is the whole basis of faith. The whole basis of faith is God takes us where we can't do it ourselves. Where we're not able to actually do it. So as I come to a close, and I do now, I promise. I believe God is asking us as a church to keep pressing on. That takes perseverance in the tough times. But it means that we have a sense of purpose still about the future. That there is a goal. But we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. By being led by the Holy Spirit. Not in our own ability. Because we are not capable of doing what God has asked us to do. Cheer up. I was never capable of doing it. Cheer up. The new leadership are not capable of doing it as well. They can put a smile on it. But we're not. We can't do it. We need God. We need you to pray for us. We need to know God in this so that we can make steps of faith and continue to be moved in the Spirit. But do you know what I think is so wonderful? Our vulnerability, our weakness, our inadequacy is exactly what God is looking for. Rather than thinking we've got it all sorted, rather than feeling we have to have all the answers to all the questions that are being asked for us, not just as leaders, but as Christians as well, being open to the opportunity for saying, I am weak, but you're strong. I'm vulnerable, but you're mighty. I don't know everything, but you do. It's just a great opportunity for God to move, for God's power to be manifest. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. Paul himself had to learn that truth, didn't he? He was told by God, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Want to see more of God's power? Let's be weak. We move into the purpose of God. We press on in the Spirit, but we also press on with active faith, walking by faith. A faith that will stretch us and lengthen us. A faith that will take us beyond what we can naturally do or control in ourselves. A faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And we read that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. By faith we claim it. By faith we claim the future. By faith we claim the future for 1:4:6 today. Yeah. We don't see all the answers, and there's lots of questions, but we believe God gave us that building. Yeah. By faith, we claim His purpose and plan to be fulfilled in that place. Yeah. A faith that stretches us. And if you want to read chapter 11 of Hebrews, you'll find that you've read a whole raft of people that you can read about in Scripture. And there's a phrase that keeps being mentioned by the writer to the Hebrews. He says that by faith, this person obeyed God and then did this. Our obedience is by faith. Okay, let me finish. It's not a difficult thing to hand over a church. It's painful in some ways, but I'm not leaving you. I don't know what the future holds. I can't tell you I'll be here for another 10 years, 5 years, 30 years. I might not be here in 30 years, you know. I don't know. I know that when I stepped down from Hollybush, I knew nothing about Jeff and Sheffield. Well, I knew Jeff, but I didn't know about the opportunity to come. I didn't leave my last job knowing there was a job here. But God opened up the door. So I have actually a pretty blank canvas for next year. Not until then. I'm quite busy till then. I have no idea what God's going to do. Exciting, isn't it? Adventure. But I want to close with a word of scripture from Philippians 1 verse 6. Because I believe this over you, and I want to say it over you. That I am certain that God, who has begun a good work in you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Amen. God bless you.